Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike.
And I'm Matthew. And for this segment, we are joined by Jason and Rosie of Album. Jason is a Boeing 767 pilot, and we're very happy to have you here today.
Happy to be here.
So there's a lot. ALPA does a lot of different things. They're involved with a lot of safety in the industry. And one of the big hot topics that has been going around is modernization of the ATC system. What is being done to modernize the ATC system, and how are those projects coming along?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So it's unfortunate that it takes a tragedy like the, PSA 5342 in January of last year to get things moving, right? This is something that's been necessary for 2 decades.
Right, and there have been people who have been proposing these things for decades.
Yeah, I mean, next gen was a thing 20 years ago, and it never got there, so now it's basically past gen. So, we've been trying, but they never get the resources to do it. So they get money to do new things, and then it ended up all being taken to fix old things, right? So there's never been this push. So now there's a good push to get this done, right? So the $12.5 billion is a great down payment. That's what it is. It's a down payment. It's not going to get everything done, but it's making significant progress towards what we need, right? We need to bring the aviation system into the future, because we have more people wanting to fly. We've got more cargo wanting to fly. We've got new entrants, AMM, drones. Everybody wants their coffee from Starbucks delivered via drone. How can you do that with what we have now? You can't, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You get the question, is flying safe? Yes, flying is safe, but it's safe. We can't add all that other stuff. And to keep it safe, our brothers and sisters in air traffic control will have to say, we're going to have to reduce the number of flights if we don't fix this, mm-hmm. right? So we've made good progress on it. We're part of the Modern Skies Coalition. ALPA is one of the founding members of that with the airlines. We've done this is something that's really never been done before. You've got labor unions, us and NATCA, primarily leading the charge, but you've got everybody from other air pilot groups, flight attendants, other labor groups that are part of this coalition, industry, regulators. You've got everybody from the general aviation manufacturers to AOPA. Everybody's part of this coalition saying, now's the time to fix this. So that's important, because we can all be here doing what we're doing now, and you'll hear the same message from me that you'll hear from Nick Daniels at NATCA or somebody from like Jim from Gamma. So we're all carrying that same message that now's the time and keep it moving.
So one of the big things that have been happening for a long time is they've been working on replacing all the copper lines with fiber optics. That started a number of years ago. How's that coming along?
Well, under the new initiative, it's coming along well. They've made significant progress on switching that out, which is going to be, if you're a pilot, it's reliable communications are essential to what we do, and that's going to give us more reliable communications. In addition to the fiber versus copper, you've got the digital versus analog. We're getting the digital switching instead of analog. And that's going to allow us to have more seamless communications, and that's being rolled out. It's the progress is excellent. I'll give you an example, right? We're as pilots, we're used to a controller working multiple frequencies. We can't hear what that other pilot on another frequency is, and we commonly step on each other, and we miss a frequency. We miss a clearance or something, because there's multiple things. These digital switches, even though they're using multiple frequencies, we as pilots will hear that on our frequency, that other aircraft. So it's really a step into better communications, less chance for error.
So they're rebroadcasting what the pilot says on the one thing
yep.
back to all the other
on
frequencies.
Ours, because they can digitally do that. This
right.
is technology that's available. It has been for a long time. We just now have the money to make it a reality.
To incorporate that. And yeah. is there a timeline for the completion of replacing all the copper?
Look, I think this initial tranche was supposed to be by the end of 28, but they've made significant progress. We talked with the FAA the other day, and they're really pleased with it. So they're going to create, I think what is essential is they're going to create a public dashboard so members of Congress and the public can see where are they, what have they completed, how many radars have been replaced. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. People can figure out where we're at. Because we need more, right? The next step is, and I tell you, the controllers, I've learned through this process, the hard work they do, everything that the old stuff they're working with, you know, a common automation platform so that, that everybody in the country can know what's going on in other parts of it and all that. That's that additional money. So, you know, discussions like we're having now is essential to keep this front center so that it doesn't die off when the next big thing happens.
Sure. And ELPA is really, really was founded on safety, and you promote safety in everything with flying. One of the big hot topics was that accident with PSA in DCA. And where is that progressing at now with getting ADS-B in these helicopters so that we might be able to avoid something like that in the future?
Yeah, so there's been two pieces of legislation. The Senate acted first and through unanimous consent had the Rotor Act. The Rotor Act addressed a couple of the major issues. One is getting integrated ADS-B in our flight deck displays so that we have awareness. As you know, at the NTSB hearing, we all heard that their modeling showed that the PSA crew would have had basically a minute warning through ADS-B instead of the last second TCAS, right? Mm-hmm. And then also limiting the ability for military air operations in our joint use airspace like DCA, New York, wherever, without reporting their position and having their ADS-B out, you know, inhibited. Obviously, we all understand for presidential movement or something like that, that there is a level of secrecy that's required. But generally, this is airspace that we're all using. You know, everybody should be reporting their position. So the House now has the Alert Act, which addresses more by number of the NTSB recommendations, but it basically is an upgrade to the current TCAS technology rather than the integrated ADS-B in. And it doesn't have the level of language that the Rotor Act had on the military operations piece. So basically, we've got two good bills. We need to through conferencing have come out with one good, really great bill where we have the best of Alert and the best of Rotor. So that's kind of our biggest push right now in D.C. is to make sure that's there, because you know, as a pilot, TCAS is great. It's a last line of defense, though, right? Because if you get a resolution advisory, that is a last line of defense.
Right, mm-hmm. And TCAS has limitations, and some of that could be updated. Like, it won't give you a resolutionary advisory below a certain altitude, and different manufacturers do different things. But why? You know, especially if an aircraft is descending, well, give you a climbing RA, that you would be fine below a certain altitude. Yeah, you don't want to give it to descending one. But, is there any updates in how the TCAS operates that might have also been able to help?
So that's the next future thing they're working on is this ACAS XA, which is kind of a TCAS thing, and looking at some of that. It is not as good as ADS-B in situational awareness for us. So yeah. Basically, it's a both, right? TCAS needs to evolve, like you just said. But we also need the situational awareness tool of ADS-BN, which, oh, by the way, has been recommended from the NTSB since 2008, and it hasn't been acted on. Again, it has to take a tragedy in order to try to push something forward like this. But that feed now gives us the hope that we never get to that last line of defense in a TCAS resolution advisory, because we have that situation where it's early to avoid it in the first place.
And one of the things that I've noticed is used to be that the airlines were the only people who could afford the upgraded avionics. And right now it seems like the airline is the only people who can't afford upgraded avionics.
Absolutely.
Why is that? What is preventing them from getting this technology? I mean, I have my 172, I can fly, you know, WAS approaches, you know, down to 200 feet. And when I'm flying a 767, you know, my minimums are much higher because I don't have all of that.
It's amazing, right? I guess part of that is the general aviation community has embraced the ADS-B and technology. I've flown a Baron that had, I flew this, and I'm like, why does my airliner not have this stuff? This is incredible. It gives you could see every airplane, their call sign, where they're headed, trend vectors. You know, it gives you such good situational awareness. And like you said, we have none of that. It just takes the mandate because no one's going to spend the money generally unless they're told they have to do it. It's unfortunate, right? Most of the manufacturers have viewed that ADS-B and technology as an option rather than a default.
Mandatory safety.
And I've personally asked both manufacturers, why are you not just putting this on your airplanes coming out and just do it because it's a safety tool? And I believe they will, you know, obviously when the legislation. The thing about ADS-BN, it's readily available. It can be every airplane can roll off the factory floor with it tomorrow. So, you know, again, that's our push.
I think we'd be remiss if we were talking about modernization and didn't mention the elephant in the room, and that's AI.
Right.
How can AI help us in this modernization effort?
So AI is an excellent tool that we can use, for example, in aviation to process data, right? Mm-hmm. We have so many voluntary safety reports, so many data points that preventing the next accident is out there. It's in the data somewhere, but you know, human eyes staring at data is can be complemented by AI churning through this data, right? Now, where AI can't do things is AI can't replace the decision making of pilots or air traffic controllers. So we need it as a tool to complement us, right? Maybe in our 767s, we're modeling a line of weather that AI can make a recommendation on which way to go around a line of weather. But ultimately, the pilot in command should say, okay, yeah, I agree with that or I don't agree with that.
And that's another thing that, you know, better tools. You know, right now I have in-flight radar, which is great, but I don't have ground radar, what some other people do in the airplane.
Yep.
So there's lots of tools that we could give better data, but you also have to be able to get that data in the airplane to the pilots.
Yes, and and again, back to the AI aspect, it's going to help, right? It's something that's there. I know people are leery about it, but again, I think as long as going into it, we frame it as this is a tool to help decision making. It's not something there to tell pilots or controllers what to do.
Yep. All right. Well, we have been talking to Captain Jason Ambrosi, the president of ALPA, and we appreciate you coming in and talking to us. You're listening to EAA Radio.